And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. And we hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation out there. Please give us a call. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to get in. We will be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, classical music, and maybe even fashion. So you never know. Debbie's ever hopeful about that. However, so if the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. I think we just got a call from Union City. It's coming in right now. 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. Mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, if you ever have a suggestion for a question or a comment on the show, feel free. It's always great to hear from our listeners out there. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that as we speak anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of the show, the ever reliable and lovely Debbie Kennedy is here, who do her usual extremely efficient job. So that should be available fairly soon after the show is over, along with some of our older shows. I also want to remind you that in August, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary. So we are planning a little shindig here at the station, and hopefully we'll give you more details about that as the time gets a little bit closer, but maybe some of you would like to come by and meet us. So if you do, I will let you know later how to do that, but August 18th. So keep that in mind. So we're going to begin with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Maybe Jerry Nachman just moves in the wrong circles, but he has yet to hear an actual person mention the America's Cup races, a much-needed break for billionaires when they get tired of counting their money.
Joshua Cosman is only fractionally here with us tonight. The rest of him is already in Austin, Texas, waiting for this week's convention of the National Puzzlers League to get underway.
And with the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, our moderator Dana Rodriguez would like to remind our listeners that our show is the Pickett's Charge of public radio.
All right. That will mean something to those of you who studied or enjoy history. So let us know. And when are you leaving for Austin?
Tuesday.
Okay. All right. I also would like to remind people that Josh is one of the co-authors of the Crossword Puzzle in the Nation magazine.
That's true.
Every week.
Every issue.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
For small remuneration.
Yes.
But however, you wouldn't do it if
but
you didn't enjoy it.
But I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it.
That's right. Okay.
The high two figures is
exactly.
Calvin Trolls.
The Nation magazine.
The high two figures, exactly.
All right. Who's your co-author? Sorry.
Henry Picciotto.
Okay. There we go. So we began the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. What do these writers all have in common? Lewis Carroll, Henry James, John Updike, Somerset Maugham, and Margaret Drabble.
Once more, Jerry, please.
What do these writers all have in common? Lewis Carroll, Henry James, John Updike, Somerset Maugham, and Margaret Drabble. Drabble.
Can you frame that in any way, shape, or form? Like, is it a literary thing that they all have in common?
No.
Okay.
If I better tell you what it is, not.
It's biographical in some way, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somerset Maugham was a stutterer. Were they all stutterers?
Oh, Updike is certainly a stutterer, and Carroll was too. You got
all
it.
All right.
Yep.
You got it.
Henry James stuttered? I did not know that.
Well, I didn't know that either.
Huh. All right.
I didn't know Lewis Carroll did either.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Good.
There we go.
Well, good one. Okay. All right. Let me ask one quick one. Which recent Broadway play, not musical, holds the record for the highest weekly ticket sales?
You said recent.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A recent play, not a musical.
Holds the long-time record for, the all-time record, I guess, for highest weekly ticket sales.
Well,
what plays that aren't musicals sell anything?
I was thinking maybe the Bette Midler show that just closed.
No.
I'll eat you last.
Yeah.
That's a good guess, but it's not right.
No.
How recent? I mean, in the last...
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
Well, can you tell us...
Did you get this off your 2011 fact-a-day calendar? Or, I mean...
No. I got it last week's New York Times.
Oh, okay, so it's,
could you tell us? I almost didn't say recent.
Yeah. So you're lucky I gave you that.
Could you tell us this, when you say recent, in the last 10 years? Can we say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I was thinking it must be in the last like 3 weeks or something.
Well, you know, you gotta break Jerry down slowly on these things.
Was it that production of Waiting for Godot with Robin Williams and
maybe that would make sense, Steve Martin, or whoever it was?
Yeah,
right. No.
It wasn't those two. It was one of them.
No, it's not that.
Okay,
but it was some kind of celebrity vehicle like
Bill
that.
Irwin, I think, and Robin Williams. No.
Yeah.
Was it?
No, you're thinking of Kathleen Turner.
No, I think he was in. He did a Waiting for Godot too.
Yeah,
Bill Irwin.
All right.
I don't know if it's the same one, though.
Yeah, there's celebrity
the
Godot's.
No.
Okay, it's not anything by Beckett.
All right.
No.
All right,
no, I don't think that would be it.
Read the question once more.
Well, it could.
What recent Broadway play, not musical, holds the record for the highest weekly ticket sales?
Okay. Let me ask you this one question. Was it a long-running show? Do you know that?
What do you call long-running?
Like it wasn't like what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't like a celebrity-driven show that was like 6 weeks or something like that. You know,
I can't tell you that.
All right. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
In City?
Hi.
A couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
My first one is, which actress has the distinction of starring in two television series the same season, which both flopped?
Oh.
Well...
Does this go back in ancient history?
This one goes back in the late to the mid-70s.
Oh. Mid-70s.
Starred in...
Were they famous flops?
Well, they only didn't last too much for 3 months, I can tell you that.
Okay.
So,
give your clue, she was famous for playing a mother on a sitcom.
Shirley Jones?
Nope.
I was thinking it's maybe one of the Mary Tyler Moore people.
Yes, you got on the right track.
Cloris Leachman.
Nope.
Oh, I know the woman on there that played
Betty White.
No,
who played the mother?
The wife of Ted Knight.
Nope.
No, Ted that's Baxter. Georgette Engel.
Georgette Engel. Yeah.
It's the last one alphabetically.
She was never...
The last one alphabetically on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah. No, Ashley was on a spinoff on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Well, didn't...
Valerie Harper. Harper.
Oh, you're on the right track.
No, but it's who played Valerie Harper's mother.
Yeah.
That's who I'm trying to think of.
Nancy Walker.
Nancy Walker.
You know what
Nancy
those were?
Blansky's Beauties is one.
Blansky's Beauties.
Is the other one like the Nancy Walker Show?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Good, Dana.
All right. Couldn't have done it without Josh, though. What?
Another question. What recording artist followed two of the members of the Beatles who went number one, who gets on a single of the Beatles that went to number one, followed two other Beatles solo singles?
The Beatles?
Go back to the start of that again. Repeat
which recording artist who guested on one of the Beatles singles that went number one, followed them in the number one spot?
Ooh, interesting. Who guessed it on Beatles?
It was one of the last ones.
Billy Preston.
Yes.
That's who it is.
Do you know what it was?
Well, let's think about it. I mean, his number one was... Will It Go Round in Circles?
Yes, and you know what the song he followed?
He was on one of the Let It Be songs, and but I can't remember which one it was.
You want to get it?
Yeah, tell me.
Get Back.
He was on Get Back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
And the songs he followed, though, were Paul McCartney and Wings with My Love and George Harrison's Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth.
All right,
good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. I don't know if this really counts as a trivia question or whether it's just celebrity gossip, but I just found this out and I'm kind of excited. Joanna Gleason, you know, the red-haired, apple-cheeked actress, she has a very famous father. Do you know who that is?
Jackie Gleason.
It's not Jackie Gleason, it's not Ralph J. Gleason, and it's not anyone named Gleason, but he's very famous.
James Gleason.
He's not named Gleason.
Oh, I know. I've read that. I can't remember.
It's not Phil Silvers, is it?
It's not Phil Silvers.
I know. His daughter was an actress, too.
I was sort of very surprised and disoriented to find this out.
Was he a dramatic actor, a comic actor? Can you tell us that?
Why do you assume he was an actor?
Well, because she's an actress. Not necessarily. Okay.
Were your parents newspaper writers?
No.
It's not genetic.
Is it? Was
well,
this person?
It might be. It often is.
Yeah,
but okay.
Often. Was this person a director?
No.
Was this person in show business, period?
Yeah.
Joanna Gleason.
Joanna Gleason.
And her father was a famous person in
show
business.
Canadian in show business.
Canadian?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Either Wayne or Schuster?
No.
You're not, like, I mean, you're not gonna,
William Shatner?
You're not going to guess it.
Lauren Green?
Randomly. Let's leave it out there and see if anybody knows
right.
who... We're looking for Joanna Gleason's famous Canadian showbiz dad.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see here. All right. We all know state abbreviations. For instance, Colorado is CO. So, okay, fine. There are three states whose abbreviations are the first and last initial of a president.
Oh, God.
There are three states whose first and last initials are the same as the abbreviation for the state.
Oh, you have that backwards.
Okay, all right, you're right. So there are three states. Let me go over this once more.
Yeah.
There are three states who have abbreviations, like, for instance, Colorado, CO.
Yeah. You're talking about the postal code, not the calif.
Well, yeah, I just call it state abbreviations. Yeah, okay. But the so those two letters are the first and last initial of a president. So there are three states that
okay.
Okay.
All right. So you,
but not the president, not the initials like G.W. Bush, but rather like G.B.
No, only a
G-B
first name and a last name.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So first name and a last name. I'm looking for a first letter that also.
Sure. Well, we live in one because we live in Chester A. Arthurville.
That's right.
Okay.
California. There's your one.
Okay.
Okay. Chester. Chester
once
Arthur.
Once you eliminate all the J's, you got about three presidents left.
Yeah. That would be California.
Obviously. Yeah.
All right. So there are two states left. All right. Second question. We had fireworks, of course, this week. Not over in Oakland. I don't know, for some reason they didn't have them there. But what fireworks display, and this is a sort of a classic fireworks display, what classic fireworks display is based on an implement of torture?
Well... I only know one. There's only one kind of fireworks display. You mean the explosion of fireworks, or something else?
Well, no. Well, it's
I don't know.
There's an explosion of fireworks, but it's
a particular technical.
It's a particular technical
like
way that they are displayed. Okay,
or they shoot them out of a cannon. I don't know.
No.
You're looking for the name of a particular.
Yeah,
display
this
pattern,
display like comes
like
it's a particular name of the display.
Waterboarding,
and yes, like waterboarding, but not waterboarding. And it is originally the name of an implement of torture.
Is there an Iron Maiden?
No, but you have the idea, and you're on the right track.
Yeah, I just don't know the names of any firework displays.
Okay,
no, I can't put those together.
This goes back
Rack.
This goes back several hundred years. This is a pretty classic, classic sort of fireworks display.
I don't think fireworks technology has changed any in the last 300 years. I mean,
no. Okay.
Okay.
So once more, what classic fireworks display is based on an implement of torture? And by that, I mean it has the same name and the same general structure. I gave you there are three state abbreviations. You know, the two letter abbreviations for each state. Those letters also represent the first and last initial of a president. I did that much better that time. So there are two states left. Josh got one, which is California, CA, Chester Arthur. What are the other two states? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hi, it's Meredith in Palo Alto.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi. On your last question, is that Catherine Wheel?
It is the Catherine Wheel. I'm glad you got that. Thank
wheel?
You.
Of course. Well done.
Wheel?
Catherine Wheel.
What the hell is that?
The Catherine Wheel is a,
it's a fireworks
display. It's a fireworks display that the wheel goes around and around. It's a big wheel.
And
it goes around and around.
They used to strap people to
it? They used to strap people to it, named after St. Catherine.
Oh, I never knew the name of it.
Miraculously survived.
And you see it in cartoons all the time. I've never seen it in a real movie. But,
thank you very much. I'm glad you got that.
Catherine Wheel. Oh.
Are you still there?
Yes. And
okay.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What do the following things have in common? Poems by Poe and Tennyson, one each. A song by Frank Lesser and a musical title by Compton and Green, a classical musician.
Wait, you're going a little too fast here.
Sorry.
Compton and Green show, mm-hmm. song by Lesser, yeah, okay, poems okay. by Poe and somebody.
A classical, Poe and Tennyson, yes. A classical musician, an actress.
Yeah.
Hmm. Two movies I can think of, and I can give you more clues if that doesn't...
All right, so you said that the Poe and Tennyson, there's only one... Did you say one poem each? That?
Yeah.
Okay.
What word do they all have in common?
Oh, right. Right. Okay.
The.
No.
Song by Fran Lescher, that's my best thing.
And this word is in the title of the poem?
Yes.
Or the title of the song, as the case may be.
What shows are there by Compton and Green?
No, did you say a song by Compton and Green or a show?
Well, a show, the title of the show.
A Wonderful Town.
Is it something to do with bells?
Yes.
Bells are ringing.
Bells are ringing.
Bells are ringing is
and
Compton.
And if I were a bell, Frank Lester,
And Kristen
the
Bell.
Bells and Ring Out Wild Bells and so forth. Right. I've got a long, long list, but I figured it was too easy if I said a novel by John Hershey and so forth. But
right.
Anyway, you got it. I thought it was appropriate for the show and for the time of year.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Good.
Somebody with a theme question.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Ojocion, San Francisco. Hi.
Hi.
Did someone ring out with an answer to the first question you asked?
About the Broadway play with the highest grossing weekly ticket sales?
No, the Somerset Maum.
Dana got that. Dana and Joshua both got it. They were all stutterers.
No way. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. I have sort of the inside track on this. And so I know it's true. Okay, mm-hmm. So the voice of Madge Simpson on The Simpsons, who is she, and what television series and films was she in?
Well, she was in a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
She was in...
You mean Julie Kavner?
Julie Kavner.
Yeah, she was in... Radio Days, I want to say, no?
I don't know. She was
a nurse in one of his movies.
She was certainly in his segment of New York Stories. She was in...
She played the mother?
No, she was the love interest.
Oh, the love interest.
The mother was Eve Questel.
Oh, yeah.
And her and she was, as we were talking earlier about Rhoda, she played Rhoda's sister, whose name eludes me, but I...
I think she was in more than one Woody Allen movie.
Yes.
What's the name of Rhoda's sister? Her.
God, I can't remember.
I want to say Ida, but that's the mom.
That's the mom.
Well, I was in theater class with Julie at San Diego State before she struck.
Uh huh.
And so that's why I know this.
Uh-huh.
So her real she did her showcase at San Diego State in a one act play called Love, and the scouts were in the audience, and boom. She went. And then I guess her real big career move was to The Simpsons, but I also saw her at the Alexandria Theater in San Francisco run her own film. And I'm wondering if anybody knows what that was called.
She did star in a film, and I think it was the Brooks. What's that game? The comedy writer Brooks.
Albert Brooks?
Not Albert Brooks.
James Brooks.
James Brooks, who directed it.
And I bet it felt like James Brooks.
She was a comic. She was an aspiring comic with a couple of daughters.
That rings a bell.
I think that's the one.
But I can't remember the title of it. I'm sorry.
I can't either. But it only showed Alexandria here, and it only showed once.
Yeah, it was about 93, maybe, something right around there.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
You're really good. Well, thanks, you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
How about Joanna Gleason's father, Norman Jewison?
Good guess, but no.
Okay.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
All right. We know which mute Supreme Court justice asks the fewest questions during cases, Clarence Thomas, but which justice during the last term asked the most, 21% during each hour-long argument? One guess each.
I think I know that one. That would be the wise Latina, Sonia Sotomayor.
Very good.
Mm.
And which justice asked the first question most often?
Ooh. Does Roberts get first dibs as Chief Justice?
What?
Does Roberts get first dibs as Chief
no,
Justice?
No, I don't think no? so. No,
right.
no.
How about Elena Kagan?
No.
Mm-hmm. I got nothing.
Okay, you're out. Okay.
All right. Do you want to repeat that, Jerry?
Well, which Supreme Court justice during the last term asked the first question most often?
All right.
Good.
And
so he's the Jerry Nachman of the Supreme Court, in other words.
Why do you say that?
Well, you always ask the first question on the show.
Okay.
You've been here before.
Well, I'm the youngest son, that's why.
And you're listening
the oldest son.
You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7
Wise
p.m.
Wise son.
Hope you're enjoying the show. It is the Bay Area's favorite quiz program, so we hope you will join us and participate. That number is 415-841-4134. Again, that number is 415-841-4134. And our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle. Joshua Cosman writes about classical music there. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Bill on the Mission.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, question about our fair city. A couple of questions about population. According to the U.S. Census, in what decade or at what census was the population of San Francisco the highest percentage of the state's population? And within a percentage point or two, what was that percentage? That's the first question. Second question is, in 1967, San Francisco had the highest percentage of something of any city in the United States, and today it has the lowest percentage. And what would that be?
Okay. Was the first part of the question, when San Francisco had the highest percentage of the state population, would that be during and right after the gold rush?
When people actually
were flocking to San Francisco? Okay.
Good guess, but not the right decade.
Okay. What had to be before Los Angeles became a major metropolis?
Yeah, but that's not till
that's a long time.
That's not till at least the 20s or 30s, right?
Well, so how about just before the earthquake? How about
1900.
1905. Or
well,
how about
we're
that?
Talking about a census. So
1900.
So I would say, 1900 census.
Not 1900.
1910.
No, you guys are.
We're way off.
That's all
we're
I'm going to tell you.
All right.
1880.
All right.
What was the
percentage? Was 27% of the state's population.
Huh. Okay.
And it's been going downhill ever since.
I guess so.
And what is
and going and today?
Yes.
What percentage do you think it is of the state's population?
Tiny.
Not tiny.
Not as small as
true.
Chico.
There, I think there are 18 million. California is 18 or 19 million, something like that.
I don't know.
So 4%.
2%.
2%.
And the state has 38 million.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, 38 million. Well, that's only 20 million off.
So the question that I'll leave you guys with, and I'll give it off the air if you want, is the second question, which is, we were number one in a category in about 1967, and now we are dead last among all American cities.
And this is about the population?
Yeah, a demographic.
So it's like an ethnic group or a demographic of some kind.
Something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Think about it.
All right, we will.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have an answer to a question from the present. I have an answer to a question from the future.
Okay.
And I have a sequel to a question from several weeks ago.
All right.
You got all the tenses covered.
Yeah. The present question is about Joanna Gleason, her dad's Monty Hall, of course.
Yes, he is.
Oh, very good.
Congratulations. How did you know that?
And the answer to the question from the future is Egypt.
Very good. Yes, you understand the show very well.
Sounds like Steve to me.
And a few weeks ago, Jerry had a very good question that had, unfortunately, many answers. There is a word that refers to a man or a woman, and the word referring to the man is actually longer, which is unusual, and it was widow and widower.
Yeah, that's right. It turned out there are many answers to that, as you said. So it was one of my least inventive questions. Thank you.
It was calamitously ununique.
Yeah, now, exactly.
There are at least two.
You had to rub that in. Thank you. So,
at least two examples where there's a word that refers to a man or a variant that refers to a woman, where the word that refers to a woman changes not only the sex of the person, but also the occupation or status. And it's as though the word poetess did not mean a woman who writes poetry, but rather a woman who plays the trombone. So there's a change in the basic meaning of the word, not just.
And there are
two examples, two pairs of words. One is the subject of a famous magazine faux pas, and the other begins with the letter A.
I'm not sure I understand this. This is two words.
It's as though you had the word poet and poetess.
Mm-hmm.
But poet means a man who writes poetry, but poetess means a woman.
Something unrelated.
Yes. At least in the primary sense of the word.
Hmm. Oh. Okay. So, would you say these were common occupations?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
And they're both occupations.
I don't get the question.
Both were
occupation or status, more broadly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Magazine faux pas was on the cover of Time magazine.
Oh.
You mean it was a typo? I don't understand by faux pas.
No, it was not a typo. It was a misuse of the word. It was about Claire Booth Luce.
Oh.
Hmm. Interesting. It's an interesting question.
You know what? Maybe if you give us one of them, we can figure out, we can get a clearer sense of what you're looking for and get the other one. How about that? Give us the one that starts...
I can't get my head around this one.
Yeah, give us the one that starts with A.
Well, that could be referring to Richard Burton or Elizabeth Taylor, adventurer.
I see.
Although Elizabeth Taylor wasn't really an adventuress. She just had a lovely love life. So the one is also on Time magazine. The difference refers to the person's sexual life in some fashion.
I see.
Claire Booth Luce.
They referred to her as a...
They spelled her name L-O-O-S-E?
Yeah.
Yeah. They called her something that ends with E-S-S, but that has a...
No. It ended with S-A-N.
S-A-N.
You're giving us every break in the world.
Yeah,
we're not getting it.
Courtesan. I don't know.
That's exactly it.
A courtesan?
So. Courtesan.
Yes.
But that's a female version of what? Courtier?
Well, formerly, but in common use it's
usually means
prostitute.
Well, no, I understand. But what did they think they were?
Expensive.
What did they think they were saying if when in call?
They thought that she was someone who was in with a lot of politicians.
Huh.
Oh.
All right.
Interesting.
I'm sorry we didn't do better with that.
Oh, well.
All right.
Thank you, though. And Josh, I think it's your
all right. So you guys are old hands at this. You can tell me the actors who have been nominated for Best Actor for playing the same character twice. There's three of them, and you can rattle them off. But I made a list of characters for whom two different actors were nominated for Best Actor for playing them.
Say that again slowly.
I'm looking for the characters, real or fictional, for whom two different actors were nominated for Best Actor for playing.
Can these be real people?
Four of them are real people. Four of them are fictional.
For instance, Henry VIII,
and that would be
Charles Laughton and Robert Shaw, maybe.
No, Robert Shaw was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for playing.
But it is Henry VIII.
But it is Henry VIII.
And there's 10 of these.
There are eight of them.
Eight.
Where there's two different actors. There's three famous ones where it's the same
actor.
And
in each case they were nominated?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the...
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Henry VIII is Richard Burton in Anne of a Thousand Days. We're not going to take up too much time with that.
All right.
But, three other real characters and four fictional characters.
Oh, boy.
Are any of the real characters American?
Yes.
Is Abraham Lincoln one?
Yes.
So Daniel Day-Lewis.
And
Henry Fonda?
Walter Houston?
Neither of those.
Who am I missing now? Not Henry Fonda.
Elmore Lincoln.
Elmore Lincoln. I'll think of
this is a fairly early nomination.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute now. Fairly early in nomination for Best Actor for playing Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, I know one.
Oh, Raymond Massey.
Yeah, there okay. you go.
How about Howard Hughes?
No, that's what I thought, too, but...
Played by Leonardo DiCaprio recently, and
right.
the other one was played by... who played him in Howard and...
Melvin and Howard.
Oh, Jason Robards.
Jason Robards.
That was for Best Supporting Actor.
Best Supporting, yeah.
Pretty close, though.
All right, so we've got Henry VIII and Abraham Lincoln. We need two more real people, historical figures, and four fictional characters, each of which has been the vehicle for a Best Actor nomination for two different actors.
I think we could devote the entire show to this question.
Well,
is Napoleon
It's
one?
A good question.
Napoleon is not one of them.
Okay,
I know Charles Boyer was nominated for Best Actor.
There's a couple of real obvious ones here. You'll think of them. Right. You'll okay. certainly go, oh, of course.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi. This is Judy in Berkeley.
Hi.
And Delaware works with Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh, very good.
And then I have some guesses. Could mm-hmm. Ruth Ginsburg be the justice who asks first question?
Yeah, yeah. It is indeed her. Thank you.
Good job.
Very good.
And for that guy who called in about San Francisco and the demographic, how about children?
That's a very good
Debbie
guess.
Debbie is nodding yes. vigorously.
Yes.
Wow,
Debbie says
of course.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Great.
Okay. That's it.
Wow.
Right.
Thank
You're
you.
You're 3 for 3.
Very good.
Okay.
That was, that was an impressive call.
All right. This being July 4th, having just passed, I look back and found that the Thomas Jefferson did not write the Declaration of Independence alone. There was a committee of five, actually, that did that. So who are the obviously Jefferson is one. He's the main one. But who are the other four people on that committee of five that helped draft the Declaration of Independence?
Well, Franklin, I would guess.
Franklin, that's correct. That's your guess.
Who do we have so far?
We have Jefferson and Franklin.
Must be Madison, right?
No, that's okay. The Constitution.
Those are different?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you're kidding, but don't scare people. Yes, so again, I'm looking for the Committee of Five that drafted the Declaration of Independence. So far we have Jefferson and Franklin. Who are the others on that list? Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
This is Gavin from Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
The other presidential state would be Alabama for Abraham Lincoln.
That is correct. Mm. Very good.
And that's all there are?
How ironic,
huh?
Can I give you a question?
Yes, just three.
Who were the last two baseball managers to manage in street clothes?
In what? In street,
street clothes.
Clothes. Oh. Well, Connie Mack was one.
That's one.
Walter Alston was another.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he may not have been the last one, though.
Well, no. I think Walter had a uniform.
Walter okay. Alston? Okay, I don't think so. But, okay. What was it? Was there a Dodger manager before Alston, I'm thinking of? No.
Yes.
Oh,
if
that's...
you saw the movie 42, you'll know the answer.
Oh, yeah. Not Branch Rickey. I was thinking Alston. You're right. I can see him, but I can't think of his name. Okay. And there's three altogether?
No, two.
Two. Oh, I got one. Okay. That's the easy one. Let me think a little bit more. He was that manager before Alston.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I'm not coming up with it.
Oh, you better give it to us.
Okay, with Bert Schotten.
Yeah, Bert Schotten, right.
Okay. And he and Connie Mack retired on the very same day.
Oh, really?
All right. There's your bell.
Oh, like Adams and Jefferson. Huh?
Yeah.
Right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Take it easy.
Good question.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
So, okay, with all of the great things that happened in Egypt and the end of the nightmare of Morsi and his Islamists, Egypt will never be an Islamic or Islamist country at all. Just it doesn't work for Egyptian to have any type of religion, which I'm really proud of. So
well, I'm glad to hear that, yes.
Yeah, it is over with. And there will be some trouble for a few days or a week or two. But Egypt is a very secular country. It always remain to be the Jews, Christian, and Muslim land of this people. So the question about Egypt. So according to CNN, Google, and other media, About 33 million Egyptians, maybe even more, walked in the streets of Egypt last week.
33 million? Wow.
33 million.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, big number. If you will have, and really Americans have a lot of issues to take with their government. If you would have the same percentage in America, how many Americans would walk in the streets of America, say, tomorrow, to be equivalent to the 33 million Egyptians?
So I think there are about 80 million people in Egypt, or right around
85 million.
Okay.
Right. How big is the United States?
316 million, roughly.
Perfect. You're right. Okay, so what is the percentage? How many million would you think?
So then that would be probably about 40%, right around mid-40s, I guess. I don't know. What do you think, John?
How many millions?
If we have 360 million, what's 40% of 40% is like a...
I don't have my abacus.
144. Yeah, all right, fine.
No. It's about 122, 123, something of that sort. But just imagine, can this happen in this country? Can you have millions of people in the street, men, women, and children, and almost none of them get hurt at all?
Not that many even vote.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, they voted with their feet.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Everybody's talking about that it was a coup. No, it is not a coup. People voted with their feet. I wish it happened tomorrow. We need to get rid of a lot of ills in this country.
I wish you were running Egypt, Ebe.
I hope I was. No, I have nothing for politics. Let's go after the Wall Street. This is my biggest beef. Wall Street in America is the biggest problem we have right now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ebe. Bye-bye. And actually, we are past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry?
I only have one. What recent Broadway play, not a musical, holds the record for the highest weekly ticket sales?
Non-musical. And fairly recent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking for characters who have been the vehicle for Best Actor Oscar nominations for two different actors. Dana got Henry VIII and Abraham Lincoln. There are two more that are actual historical figures, and then there are four who are fictional characters. These are all very well-known characters.
All right. Are there any of the fictional characters from famous novels?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
One of them is.
All right. And what do I have left here? Oh, yeah. So there was a committee of five. Jefferson did not write the Declaration of Independence alone. There was a committee of five that drafted it. So I want you to name those five people. Well, actually, only three now. So far, we have Jefferson and Franklin. Who are the other three who are on that committee that drafted the Declaration of Independence? So, and Jerry, is it your turn? I think it
is.
Okay, one guess. What is PBS's highest rated series?
Ever or
no,
right now?
Right now.
I would say Antiques Roadshow.
You would be correct.
All right.
Okay.
I watch it.
Yeah.
That's,
hey, I'm one of them.
Okay. Well, since we're asking a few July 4th questions.
That's the bane of anybody who ever collects anything. It's the bane of their existence because
what is?
Now everybody thinks that every single thing they have is has tremendous value to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the first person to say, is that all?
Yeah.
Is that all it's worth? Okay, what was the U.S. population on July 4th, 1776, within 10%?
Ooh.
Population questions
of all the 13 colonies. Well, you know, all right.
You know the population of Egypt.
Well, I did know that. Well, it's been in the news. I will say 3.5 million.
No.
All right.
You're in the ballpark.
All right.
Almost. I'll give it to you because it's close enough. 2.5 million.
All right.
2.5 million. Okay.
That's generous of you.
Yeah, well.
There you go.
That's, okay. Okay, now one quick question. Six members of which family in America have as much money as the bottom 30% of Americans?
That's Walton.
Yeah, okay, that's too easy.
There you go.
All right, well, okay, here's one you won't get.
Oh, that's what we're looking for.
Okay. What famous conservative said, political correctness is only tyranny with manners? I like that. I don't agree with it, but I like it.
Is this person a current public figure?
No.
No.
Is it William F. Buckley Jr.?
No, it sounds like him. What famous conservative said, political correctness is only tyranny with manners?
It's a good quote.
Yeah, it is good.
I will reserve my guess.
Okay.
Think about that. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi, you there, caller? Hello? No? All right, next one. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Ah, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Jerry, the question about the Broadway play, is it Death of a Salesman?
No, it is not.
I think it's something
that... It's more recent than that.
Celebrities in it.
Yeah.
Well, I have one for you, Josh. Hold on. Is one of the characters Don Corleone?
No.
Not by Brando or De Niro?
Brando, I think, was nominated, but De Niro wasn't. That's my recollection.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong.
Dana's giving me the fish eye.
I think you're wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong about all of this. I don't think that's the double, but I could be. I made a sort of an eyeball of the list.
Right.
And I may have missed that.
Someone was asking about Rhoda's sister. Her name was Brenda Morgan.
Brenda. Oh, sure. Okay, very good.
And this was interesting. I had come. Was looking through this TV book. What movie that had an Oscar-winning role in it, when it transferred to television, had that same role played by a future Oscar winner?
Oh boy!
You know, was this the lead of the show?
No, it was supporting.
Ooh,
that's pretty.
It was from the 70s.
So go over that once more.
This movie, which later became a TV show, the supporting role, so that kind of narrows it, was an Oscar winner, and the person who played that role on television was an eventual Oscar winner herself.
Okay. Was it a long-running TV show?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say B. Arthur and Maude and then Auntie Mame, but no.
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 Okay.
No, we're not getting anything.
It was Paper Moon.
Oh, okay.
It was won by Tatum O'Neill.
Right.
And on television was played by...
Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster.
All right, Good job.
I just want to say I was checking Wikipedia while you were talking, and De Niro won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for playing Vito Corleone in Godfather 2.
Okay.
So that's the explanation for that.
That close, but no cigar.
There you go.
We're out.
All right,
good,
thanks. So I want to clear that we do not have a computer in the room, so we don't look up anything except Josh did.
I pulled my phone out of my...
Well, you can check your own question.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to see if I had gotten it wrong. I don't check other people's questions.
All right. And Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. So I just finished reading Margalit Fox's great book, The Riddle of the Labyrinth. She's a great New York Times obituary writer. This is about the decipherment of Linear B, which was an ancient script discovered where and used to write what language, as it turned out, when it was deciphered.
Oh, I heard her talk about this a little bit someplace.
Well, at least she cleared up how to pronounce her name, which I've never...
Oh, I just made it up.
Oh, okay.
Fox, I think.
No, the first name.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, what do you want to hear?
So, Linear B, which was this mysterious script that showed up in an archaeological dig. Where was it? And once it was deciphered, some decades after it was discovered, it turned out that it was used to write what language?
Anything to do with Sumerian?
It was not Sumerian. Okay. It had nothing to do with Sumerian.
Hawaiian.
Not Hawaiian.
No, it's
either more ancient than
Middle
that.
Eastern or European. Well, Middle Eastern, I think, right? Anything to do with Crete?
Very much to do with Crete. That's where it was discovered.
Yeah.
So give yourself a bell for that. And the exciting thing about it
And the civilizations basically disappeared.
The civilization disappeared.
Minoan.
Minoan civilization, right,
yes.
Which was a highly civilized, highly sophisticated culture that disappeared about 1450.
Earthquake related, possibly. Maybe, I don't know.
Nobody quite knows.
All right.
I think it might have been
Mike Roanoke,
Invaders, but nobody knew what it was, and it was finally deciphered and found to be what language?
All right, so it's not Minoan.
Well, Minoan is the name for the culture, but there wasn't.
Okay.
There's no
but
language
there was a, all right, I
per
see.
Se.
Okay, all right,
all right,
and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, is this me?
It is you.
Howdy, this is Bob in Berkeley.
Hi, Bob.
Are you still working on that Committee of Five?
Yes, we are.
Okay. How many do you need?
Well, I'm not working on it because I have the answer in front of me, but we need three more. We have Jefferson and Franklin.
All right, I'm going to try two then. I'm going to try Thomas Crittenden.
Nope.
I'm going to try John Adams.
Yes, correct.
John who?
John Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, you didn't ask this. How about first ladies whose state abbreviations matches their names?
I wish I had time to research that question. Because that's
a good one. I wanted to give it to you.
How many are there?
I can only think of one, really.
Oh,
not Margaret Truman.
Off the top of your head.
Well, there's Margaret Truman.
Margaret
there's
Truman,
two.
Montana. That's
I was
right.
thinking of maybe Eisenhower.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Very good, Dana.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, well, you've got a great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's very nice.
Margaret Truman. Michelle Obama is Missouri.
Very good.
Margaret Truman was not a first lady. She was a first daughter.
That's
oh.
true.
Bess Truman was the first lady.
I got to take the bell back.
Take
then.
The bell. You can't unring the bell.
Oh. Okay. What is the only proper name in the Gettysburg Address?
A proper name.
Yeah. Huh. What is the only proper name that's in the Gettysburg Address?
God.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Very good.
You said it first.
Very good. You got it.
I'm more godly than you.
Okay. What was the first city in the United States to give domestic partner benefits to city employees?
Ooh.
1984.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's the earliest. 1984.
Wow.
What was the first city in the United States to give domestic partner benefits to city employees?
Washington, D.C.
Not Washington, D.C.
Portland, Oregon.
No.
Boy, I don't know. 84. That is so early.
It tells you something about the city.
Is it San Francisco?
No, not San Francisco.
Huh.
Santa Fe.
No.
All right, your name, Provincetown.
All the liberal cities you can.
Yeah, right.
It's not.
Is it Boston?
It's not Boston.
Right.
It's I would say it's a medium-sized city, but it's a famous city, so it's not. So, what was the first city in the United States to offer domestic? Let me read that again. What was the first city in the U.S. to give domestic partner benefits to city employees? It was in 1984.
Well, Seattle's not a medium-sized city, but I'll say Seattle. Yeah.
Not Seattle.
Okay.
Got nothing.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ron from San Francisco.
Hi, Ron.
For the same role, actor, how about Frederick March and Spencer Tracy for Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde?
Oh.
Didn't have that one.
That's
did
clever.
You?
Was Tracy nominated?
Did they
for
both get nominations?
I know Frederick March won for it, but I'm not was Tracy nominated for that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I like it. I didn't think of those as being the same character. That's hilarious. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
If it isn't right, it should be.
Okay. All
same
right.
Same two characters.
Okay. Thanks.
Good.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey guys, it's Hayes in San Francisco.
Hello.
Committee, I think one of them from when I actually had to become a citizen, was it Livingston? Because
that
was a weird name that I'd never heard of before.
Robert Livingston.
It was Livingston. Okay.
Very good.
Right.
I presume.
Okay. And then the other thing is, how comes you don't have a delay on your phone? Because I just know...
We trust our listeners.
You trust the callers.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. We like the immediacy of it.
Yeah, it could get...
It's
could
live
get
radio.
And we're too cheap.
You do a great show, guys.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Actually, we've never had a reason to cut anybody off, have we? I don't remember.
Not really.
Not even on
Not
the panel?
Really. No.
I was on one night when one caller started making political remarks.
Well, they have
that
done that, but it's
a little bit close to
not
racist.
Profanity,
but
no, well, you know, well, yeah, well,
we
yeah.
can always disconnect that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, with no major problems, let's put it that way. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Bubba Frisco Dave.
Hello.
I have a somewhat complex question for
You're breaking up. Sorry about that. Can you clear that up a little bit?
A real phone.
Sorry about that. You can give us a call back if you want. Try to get a little more clear. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hi, a caller earlier who was answering the question about Rhoda's sister, the character had posed an additional question about a movie the actress had been in where she was an aspiring stand-up comic single mother.
Right.
That movie, I think, was called This Is My Life.
Yes, oh, that's you are right. You are absolutely right.
Nora Ephron movie.
Very
yeah.
good.
It was a good movie, and it was a little scene.
Right.
And that's all I got.
Well, thank you very much.
And that was Julie Kavner.
Yeah, that was yeah. Julie Kavner. She was the star.
I think it's a Nora Ephron movie.
You could quite...
Sounds right.
That sounds yeah. right. Uh-huh. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
On the Linear B question, I once read it was called King Minos's Laundry List that they recorded.
It was long lists of bureaucratic rosters of yeah. payments and whatnot. Yeah, but the question I was asking, which it was what language was it? That they were speaking.
Well, if it wasn't Minowan, I have no idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Jerry used a lot of his questions, so I'll go right to you, Josh. You got something quick you want to throw in? If you want to
no,
do
no,
it.
No, go ahead.
That's
no,
fine.
Go ahead.
I was trying to do you a favor, but...
I appreciate it.
All right.
It. Okay. You're right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No.
All right.
What do I have here? What is the only country in the world without an officially designated capital city?
Ooh.
Well, wait a minute. You mean officially designated?
Well, there is a de facto capital because that's where the government is based, but it doesn't actually, there's nothing actually saying this is the capital. It doesn't actually have an officially designated capital as such.
You mean if you looked at a map, there would not be a star there saying this is the capital?
I don't know.
City?
I didn't look at a map. I looked at various writings about the country, and it all said it. This is where the government is, but it's not. It doesn't. It's the de facto capital because it doesn't.
For instance, there's South Africa that has three separate capitals.
That would be three, and this is zero. You understand the difference between those two?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just trying to. But again,
it's a small country.
It's a small country.
Officially smaller than South Africa.
Designated capital.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what continent it's on?
I'll tell you where the de facto capital is, where the government offices are.
All right.
Yaren.
How do you spell that?
Yaren. So if you ever need to get a visa to go there...
That's where you go.
That's where you go.
Okay.
Although, actually, I guess you'd already be there, so you'd...
Is this an island country?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Like,
well, yeah.
Obviously.
So, like, Palau, not Tuvalu or... Or
yeah, you're in the right
Yap
part of the world.
The Yap Islands, or
no, the Yap Islands are part of.
No, they are, aren't they?
What are they part of? Micronesia?
You're just making up
Fiji?
These islands.
No,
the
Yap
Islands.
Yap Islands are.
What is that part of? Though, what nation is that? Is that Micronesia or
something? I think something like that.
All right.
Now you're just showing off.
So it's Tuvalu.
It's not Tuvalu.
All right.
Tuvalu Allura.
It's an Irish lullaby.
Yeah. All right.
All right. There you go. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Bubba Frisco Dave.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's better.
That
much better.
Okay. One slightly complicated question, multiple parts. First part. One of the longest songs in musical theater has the title Soliloquy, but it is not very well known by that title.
Oh, yes.
My Boy Bill.
That's right.
Right. And what show?
Carousel. Yeah.
John Raitt,
yeah. Based on what book by what author?
Ferenc Molnar.
Lilium.
Good for you. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling again.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ted from Mira Loma Park.
Hi, Ted.
I've got a question here. It's about the longest running TV commercial in U.S. history.
Oh.
Well, that's a good one. Good one.
What product was pitched, who pitched it, and how long was the ad on TV?
So was this just one commercial or like a series of commercials that starred the same character?
It was one commercial.
One commercial, okay.
Was it the Don't Squeeze the Charmin?
Nope.
That was a long series of commercials.
Yeah.
One commercial. Okay. Oh, was it the Crying Indian by any chance?
It was not.
What was that for?
No, don't you remember that?
Yeah,
Keep America Beautiful, the Indian that was...
Did that go for a lot of years?
That went for a long time.
Huh. Don't know.
Is it a public, like a public service kind of commercial?
It is not.
It is not. Okay.
How about the famous...
Robert Young for Sanka.
I'll give you a hint. The pitchman was British.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The pitchman was British.
Oh, you mean a Schweppes?
Nope.
Schweppes.
Pitchman was British.
I was going to say plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Mm-mm.
Not that one.
What was that? It's the only way to fly. I remember there was the owl and the plane. The pitchman was British. Okay. No, we're not getting it.
Okay, so this was a classical music pitch for, you know, greatest hits of classical music, pitched by John Williams, who was in a bunch of famous...
Oh, yes, movies. Right.
And it was on TV for 13 years.
Wow.
You mean John Williams, the songwriter?
No, John Williams, the character actor.
Oh, the conductor.
The character actor.
No, he used to be in all the Hitchcock, where they did a lot of stuff for Hitchcock.
I don't know him.
Right.
Yeah.
Dial In for Murder, he was the inspector.
Okay. Paul Williams, I'm thinking.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
John Williams is a conductor, too.
Right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, it's Ruth in Berkeley. Listen, you said the question about the language, the ancient language.
Yes.
Knossos is the place. Crete.
Crete is the place, exactly.
Correct?
Yes.
But you said it wasn't. Linear B.
No. The question was, what language did Linear B turn out to be written in? And it was discovered in Crete. And what I'll just tell you,
Minoan.
Well, Minoan's not a language that we know.
All right. Okay.
What it turned out was that they were speaking Greek well before anybody thought that they were. So I mean.
Oh, this must be some later research after my time in college.
Ah, there
great.
We go. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, time to clean up here, Jerry.
Well, the famous conservative who said political correctness is only tyranny with manners was Charlton Heston.
Oh.
Nice quote.
Yeah.
And the recent Broadway play, not a musical, that holds the record, current record, for the highest weekly ticket sales, still running, Lucky Guy with Tom Hanks.
All right. My old high school classmate.
Oh, yeah.
The country without a... without a capital is no Uru, but the double Oscar nominations, I thought you guys were going to get more of them. I'm going to flip them to you real quick, and you're going to knock them out. Olivier and Kenneth Branagh.
Hamlet.
Henry V. Anthony Hopkins and Frank Langella.
They did do a play Hamlet, though.
They didn't get nominations.
Right.
Come on, we don't have time. Anthony Hopkins and Frank Langella. Go.
Dracula.
Famous.
Richard Nixon.
There you go.
Nixon.
John Wayne and Jeff Bridges. All right, never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Rooster Cogburn. Mr. Chips, Donut and O'Toole, Henry Higgins, and Norman Maine.
All right. Good job.
Very good. Good question.
Maine. All right. The Committee of Five that drafted the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Roger Sherman, and Robert Livingston. And the first city in the U.S. to give domestic partnership benefits to city employees, that was Berkeley, California, in 1984. So if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman, and from the San Francisco Chronicle, classical music critic Joshua Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh. And, of course, thanks to Debbie Kennedy. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.